Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast, hour number two here on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us today. And it is Thursday. It is the bye week before the Super Bowl. But that doesn't mean we're still not going to have our usual hour-long chat with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here on Sports Grid. Warren, good to see you, my man. How are you?
Good to see you too. It is a busy time of year, this 1 week that you have extra to prepare for the Super Bowl. Maybe some people take it easy. Maybe some people take a little bit of a break. I tend to go head down. I just bury into the research and the analytics. I dive down into a lot of different rabbit holes and then try to come out the other side, which I have yet to do. I'm still in the midst of my detailed research and analysis for the Super Bowl because, yes, it is just one game, and yes, there is just one matchup here. However, there are so many games within the games here, and they offer so many different props that unless you're doing a thorough, in-depth analysis, trying to uncover any stone that you can to find some type of angle that might hold some opportunity to bet something here on, you're probably doing yourself a disservice. And there's a reason why this is a great time of year to actually make a lot of money late in the season on betting some of these props that the books will line here.
So you've got a lot of stuff that we're going to dive into here during this hour so far in the Super Bowl, still about 10 days away, and we're going to do some coaching carousel stuff. Let's take this 5 minutes here, this first short segment. Give me some of your thoughts on those conference championship games from last Sunday. Let's start with the Chiefs and the Bengals, where I thought, Warren, when Joey Silk got his hands on the ball, first with 6 minutes left, and then again, even though he was backed up at his own five, I thought the Bengals were going to go down the field and get it done. Nice job by the Chief D, and of course, the refs were a big topic in that game as well.
Yeah, they really were late. I thought that this game was obviously much more compelling and much more entertaining than the first game that was played, which we'll talk about momentarily. But this game really did go true to form from my perspective. I liked the game under, and I liked the Chiefs in the first half. And those were really my two stronger positions on this game, aside from digging into the prop market. I thought that this game played really true to form from that respect. There were some things that I thought that the Chiefs defense did better than I was originally expecting them to do. But that goes to show you just the defensive coordinator and his strengths. And the fact, I think, really was a factor here that we predicted on the show last week, which was the offensive line of the Cincinnati Bengals just was really overhyped based upon what happened in that Bills game on the snow and the ice, and the fact that the pass rush for the Chiefs was likely to inflict a little bit more pressure here, make those offensive line injuries with three players down just much more glaring. And that obviously is what came to play out. Chris Jones absolutely wrecked this game for the Cincinnati Bengals passing attack. And then the other element here that I thought was extremely impressive was Patrick Mahomes in the second half of the game. That's where he's had his kryptonite against Lou Anarumo. That he's been really bad in the second half of these games in the prior three meetings, but he was getting rid of the ball quicker than usual. And when he was holding onto the ball for 3+ seconds, he was delivering a ton of efficiency that he was not doing in the prior three meetings. And that was even despite the fact that he was playing without all these wide receivers who were getting banged up at the beginning of the game. So I just thought it was a very impressive performance in the circumstances on a bum ankle without his wide receivers against a defensive coordinator that's the best in the NFL at making adjustments, who knows you in and out, and who's had a lot of success against you. You know, really kudos to Andy Reid, but obviously Patrick Mahomes for figuring out the right game plan and executing it when it really mattered to send them to the Super Bowl.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty here. Sirius XM 159 Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. Warren Sharp, of course, always on a Thursday, our lead NFL analyst here on Sports Grid. Luckily, Warren, we only got 90 seconds. What could you possibly say when you lose your quarterback on the first offensive possession of the game, and then you lose the other one on the first possession of the second half? There's really not much Kyle Shanahan can do there.
It's really hard for me to take away a lot from actually either of these games to some extent, because the Bengals offensive line made the Chiefs defense look a little bit better. And of course, the Eagles defense looked outstanding against what was left from the San Francisco 49ers offense when they realized that they couldn't throw the football and just called run after run after run. I really don't understand the thing. Like, I stood to gain here when cashed a ticket on the Eagles first half team total over, which hit. But I did lose on a Christian McCaffrey over 4.5 receptions prop where he was thrown four passes, caught those four passes, but down the stretch, all they did was run the football. I'm like, if Purdy can just throw it like 2 feet, you know, they could do something besides just call run after run after run. And Kyle just refused to have Purdy throw one more pass that I needed for Christian McCaffrey. So that was one thing that I was a little frustrated with. But overall, you can't take a whole lot away from this game. The Eagles did what they do late in games early in this one, and that was turtle up because they know you don't really give a threat to them beating the Eagles. And so they, even in the first half, started getting far more conservative on offense, which is what made this game really just very unattractive and unappealing to watch.
For El Coast to Coast on a Thursday, we're talking with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst here at Sports Grid. We will come back, start to dive in to some of the things that Warren has looked at so far this week for Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and the Eagles. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We are talking, as always, on Thursdays with Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst. That is Warren Sharp. Scotty will be back next week from Arizona, Monday through Friday, getting you ready for the Eagles and the Chiefs. And Warren will be out there next week at the MGM in Arizona, Warren. That's where you'll be hanging with Scotty next week. So that's going to be fun a couple of days before
the
game.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, hanging out on Radio Row, also going out to the sports book at MGM out there in Arizona and Glendale is going to be a ton of fun. Really looking forward to all of it.
Let's start to dive into a couple of things that you have seen in this game so far, still 10 days out. How about looking at full game stats for these two offenses? Very prolific offenses, Mahomes, Hurts. What have you seen so far trying to dive into it that way?
Yeah, and as prolific as both of these offenses have been, what it's helped them do is build big leads early in games. And then you factor in the strength of schedule in terms of who they've played. This has helped get them to the position that they're at. The Eagles have played the number one easiest schedule of opposing teams this year. The Kansas City Chiefs have played the number four easiest schedule of opposing teams this year. And because both teams have played easy schedules and because both teams are really good teams just in general, they've had big leads early in some of these games. If you look at the average lead that the Eagles have at halftime, they're up by over a touchdown. That's the largest of any team in the NFL. If you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, they've got the, on average, fourth largest lead at halftime. Both of these teams rank top four in largest average margin entering the fourth quarter of games. And so as a result, these teams dial things back big time, both in the second half for the Eagles as well as the fourth quarter for both offenses. So that's going to skew some of the metrics when you look at, you know, how do the Eagles rank full season offensively? You know, like if they have to play a four-quarter game against this Kansas City Chiefs offense, if it's not like the New York Giants where it's a blowout at halftime, or it's not like the game against the 49ers where they're to a fourth-string quarterback who then gets knocked out and the third string comes back into the game and can't throw the football, right? Like that's not what we're expecting in the Super Bowl. We are expecting Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline there. So the Eagles are going to have to play four quarters of winning football. That's going to mean they're going to be passing the football a lot more than what they have been. I mean, it's crazy to think about it, but in the first half of games, the Philadelphia Eagles on early downs have the fifth highest pass rate. They pass the ball at the fifth highest rate. In the second half of games on early downs, they have the third highest run rate. I mean, this is a team that goes from fifth most pass heavy to third most run heavy first half versus second half. It's because of the leads that they have in these games. So if you don't think they're going to have a lead in the second half, you really have to take a strong look at some of those props and some of those statistics that like the backup running backs potentially have been earning in the second half of games, and really kind of wonder, will they be in the game enough in the situations that would allow them to just run the football as much as they've been when they're playing against a team that has Patrick Mahomes on the other side? Similarly for the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, this is a team that has built big leads, and then their defense in the fourth quarter especially looks significantly worse as they're leading and they're letting opposing teams back in the game as they're playing a little bit softer and giving up a little bit more efficiency. So it's really important for me, at least, and I would advise others out there to do the same. It's easy to look up full game statistics. There's lots of websites that have full game statistics on what each of these offenses rank and defenses rank and how they are against the run or the pass and how their defense plays against the run. All those full game, full season statistics are out there and easy to access. But specifically for this game, to better understand how each of these units will actually play in a game that could be tight late, you really do need to parse out, remove some of the fourth quarter garbage statistics that have occurred, remove even some of the third quarter statistics in some cases, and focus on what these teams look like in the first half of these games, because I think that's going to be much more reflective to what we're going to see in the Super Bowl.
I mean, you're so right, Warren, because I just, as you were talking about all this, it popped into my head. I mean, if you played some of these Eagle backups the last 2 weeks in the playoffs, you sat there cashing tickets, and I was one of them. I mean, Gainwell the last 2 weeks, the number was low, the touchdowns, Boston Scott with touchdowns in both games. Everybody runs to the window with Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith, but it's been Gainwell and Boston Scott who have been cashing tickets for you the last 2 weeks in the playoffs.
They have. They've been doing great. And so you can look at like their rushing attempts and think, hey, is this really a good bet to bet their over on rushing attempts? Maybe we should bet their under. The other thing too to consider is the same thing is true for a team like the Kansas City Chiefs and, you know, what this offense might have to do and how they might have to continue to put the pedal to the floor in the fourth quarter of games when they have not had to do that quite as frequently. And who might they be working the ball to, and will they have enough rushing attempts late in these games? So, you know, like I said, it's vital to a lot of people get caught up in, you know, what's happened the last few weeks. Both these teams had a first round bye. They've only played two games in the playoffs, right? They won both of those games, obviously, the Jaguars and the Bengals, the Jaguars who the Chiefs beat in the first go around. And then Patrick Mahomes was injured in the first half of that game, had to play the rest of that game with an injury. The offense didn't quite look the same as what we might see in this game. And then against the Bengals, you know, you're going up against a team with the Bengals who are down three starters on the offensive line, and you're able to get after Joe Burrow a little bit more. So you really have to put those two games, in my opinion at least, like press the pause button into how much you're taking away from what we've seen in both the Eagles playoff wins and the Chiefs playoff wins, and mainly focus on the body of work over the course of the season and what these teams try to do. Because I can assure you, smart teams like the Philadelphia Eagles, when they're up at halftime in some of these games, do some things in the third and fourth quarters to try to throw off their tendencies. If you think about like great coaches like Bill Belichick, and he'll like call certain plays or call a specific strategy late in the game to kind of skew the overall numbers so that when opponents who are trying to scout them look at the overall body of work, like, oh, this team uses this personnel at this rate, this team runs at this rate, this team calls this type of play. And then you really look at it and they're throwing these types of things in late to skew some of the numbers just to make it look like, well, this is what we do on average. When in reality, when we're trying to win a game, we're not actually doing some of those things. So you have to take those into consideration.
You certainly do. BetMGM had Gainwell at 11.5 last week. They have him at 20.5 for the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Definitely a number to look into. I've only got a minute left, Warren. We'll do the trenches when we come back from the break. 30 seconds on this. I've seen people try to minimize the Eagles' easy road to get here. As far as I'm concerned, Warren, when you go 16-2 when Hurts was the starting quarterback this year, there's nothing to minimize there, or 16-1, whatever it was. There's nothing to minimize, Warren. They deserve to be here. Enough.
Well, they do. And the cool thing about a team like the Eagles, you could see it unfold against the 49ers. Even in the second half of that game, they are still trying to probe and call plays that really take advantage of an opponent's weakness. And they're learning from the first half what they see, and they're attacking some of those things at the beginning of the third quarter, which is how they really opened up some of the things on the ground. I think that the Philadelphia Eagles, you could say that they played an easy schedule, and they have, and you need to maybe take some metric-adjusted statistics because of that. But no doubt about it, this is a team that is very deserving of being here and had a very good shot of being here, even if they were going to play some tougher teams along the way.
Pharrell Coast to Coast will come back. We've got more with Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst Warren Sharp. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell, coast to coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us here. It is always time for the lion's share with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst at Sports Grid. Warren, we continue to dive in here on Super Bowl 57, Chiefs and the Eagles. Let's talk about trench play down in the trenches, Warren, because it was massive in those two championship games last week on the offensive and the defensive lines.
It is, and I think it's going to be massive again in this Super Bowl if the prior history has been any indication, and that is that since 2015, that's the last seven Super Bowls, the team that records more pressure on the opposing quarterback than they allow on their own quarterback is 6-1 in these Super Bowls. The only team that was able to allow more pressure on their quarterback than they got on the opponent and still win the game was Patrick Mahomes against the San Francisco 49ers. So he has done it once before, but he also lost when the Bucs got a ton of pressure on him his last trip there. So it is absolutely a big factor. We can look at how do we predict who's going to allow the most pressure. So there's a couple of elements that factor into allowing pressure. Number one is your quarterback actually does control a lot of it. How long is he holding on to the football for? How willing is he to invite the pressure before he tries to get rid of the ball? So quarterbacks do factor into how much pressure they receive. And then the second one is just how dominant is that offensive line and the opponents that you've played. So I think some people might be surprised when we think about Patrick Mahomes and they've got such a high pass rate team and a quick drop back type of a game versus Jalen Hurts. But Jalen Hurts actually throws the ball with just 23% of his passes holding onto the ball for 3+ seconds. That's the 25th most in the NFL. Whereas Patrick Mahomes, he's up at a 34% rate, which is the sixth highest rate in the league. So he's holding onto the football, Mahomes is, for 3+ seconds, significantly more frequently than is Jalen Hurts. And then if you look at the other statistic, which is how many throws are being made in 2.5 seconds or less? How quickly are they getting rid of the football? For Jalen Hurts, that's 58% of his throws are coming out in 2.5 seconds or less. That's fifth best in the league, fifth highest rate of throws. Whereas for Patrick Mahomes, he's down to 51%. Now, still slightly above average, but it just shows you that Mahomes does hold onto the football a little bit longer, and Mahomes does end up throwing the ball with a little bit more pressure. So it shouldn't surprise you at all that the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line allows more pressure in general than does the Philadelphia Eagles line. Now we look at the other side of the ball. How often are these defenses getting pressure? The Eagles recorded pressure at a 39% clip, which is second best in the NFL. The Chiefs recorded at 36%, which is seventh best in the NFL. So both are top 10 at getting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. One interesting nugget, though, for the Eagles, only 27% of dropbacks versus the Eagles did a quarterback hold on to the football for 3+ seconds. We talked about how Mahomes was doing that at such a high rate on the season, but quarterbacks aren't able to do that very often against the Philadelphia Eagles just because of how strong their pass rush is. That's the second lowest rate of any defense in the league in terms of few percent of dropbacks coming with 3+ seconds to throw it. For the Kansas City Chiefs, they're at 28% of opponent dropbacks did the quarterback hold the ball for 3+ seconds. That ranked 20th in the league. So the Philadelphia Eagles do get after you a bit more than do the Kansas City Chiefs. The Philadelphia Eagles force you to throw the ball faster than do the Kansas City Chiefs defense. And then Jalen Hurts himself is a bit more frequently as well. So if you just look at the statistics and try to project who's going to do a better job at getting rid of the ball quickly and their offensive line holding up under pressure, you're probably going to lean a little bit towards Jalen Hurts and this Philadelphia Eagles offensive line doing a better job at protecting Hurts and also pressuring Patrick Mahomes. And if those two things do come to fruition, then the Eagles are falling into a very good subset here of teams having success in the Super Bowl when they're able to use that trench mismatch and get after that opposing quarterback. And if Patrick Mahomes is going to win this game, he's going to have to play like he did against the San Francisco 49ers potentially in that one Super Bowl out of the last seven that was able to be won by the quarterback who was pressured more than his opponent but still pulled off the win.
And he's going to try to do that, Warren, with, you know, a bit of a bum ankle. He's going to try to also accomplish all of those things as well out in Arizona next week. I was mentioning this to you this off the air, and since it ties into the trench play, I thought Hassan Reddick, he's been great all year. He was so dominant in that game against the 49ers last Sunday. I put the ticket in. I know Super Bowl MVP is very tough, Warren. It's a quarterback-driven award. It's hard to get it out of the hands of those guys. But Reddick was 50-1. BetMGM now has him at 30-1. It's gone down. I think if there's one guy on the defensive side of the ball that maybe you want to have a little fun ticket to win MVP, Reddick's that guy for me, Warren.
Yeah, that's a nice long shot. It's obviously going to pay you out very well. A couple of ideas for how to pay that out even bigger is if you, for all the props, when you're betting on these props, you should try to forecast out like a storyline, a narrative for how you think that this game is going to go. And when you're looking at a guy like Reddick, if you think he might be able to win MVP, what would have to happen in this game to allow him to do that? So the Eagles would have to win the game potentially. So you throw in Eagles money line onto that parlay. Now, those odds aren't going to increase a ton because they are heavily correlated, but the Eagles are not decisive favorites here. So that will give you a little bit of a boost. Maybe you say that Jalen Hurts can't have a good game. An Eagles win with Jalen Hurts having a great game, Hurts is going to win that MVP. So maybe Hurts throws an interception. Maybe Hurts goes under his passing yards. Maybe you are able to bet under on like some of the receivers to have a great day. And then you look at the other side of the ball, what might have to happen? Well, maybe Patrick Mahomes, maybe the Eagles record over their sack number. Maybe there's a turnover by Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he throws an interception. Maybe there is a fumble that the Eagles are recording. So you're creating a few different storylines and ways that you can increase those odds even further by parlaying Reddick MVP with some of these other events that are highly correlated towards Reddick winning the MVP, but aren't going to be factored in enough. And you can really make those odds grow astronomically high. Doesn't mean every single one of those things is going to hit, but we're talking about a massive long shot to begin with. So while you should just bet Reddick alone for a little bit, if that's what you want to do, I absolutely would toss a little bit of money on some of these other derivatives that you're parlaying into the Reddick MVP bet.
Let's talk about the Chiefs defense now, Warren, because their offense obviously gets all the pub, having Patrick Mahomes, having Travis Kelce, etc. But their defense has gotten better as the season has gotten deeper. Tell us about it.
if you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, like look at all of the, look at these two teams and look at offense defense. So the Eagles offense was great the first half of the season, great the second half. So was their defense, great first half, great second. Same was true with the Kansas City Chiefs offense. If you do like a split down the middle of the season, look at their EPA per play in the first half versus the second half of the season, they're very similar numbers. But the defense of the Kansas City Chiefs is that one unit that has shown marked improvement from like the first 10 weeks to everything since week 10. Part of it, of course, has to do with who they played, the quarterbacks that they faced, and how strong that they've performed. But I noticed one other element towards their defensive improvement that I think is really intriguing and worth pointing out here. And that is how frequently they have been playing with lighter boxes down the stretch. By box counts, we're talking about how many defenders are in the box. Typically, you're going to have seven defenders, you know, several down linemen, and then some linebackers playing inside that box. If you have six or fewer, that's considered a light box. And the Kansas City Chiefs over the first half of the season played with seven plus box defenders on 60% of early down plays and 59% of plays in the first three quarters. So in the first half of games, they were playing with seven plus box defenders at the 10th highest rate. Over the second half of the season, they lowered that box count in the first half of games from 60% of plays down to 48% of plays. And in the first three quarters, down to 51%. That is the fifth lowest rate of any team in the league. So they dropped from the 10th highest rate of heavier boxes down to the fifth lowest rate in the NFL. What that's allowed them to do is put more of these defenders in coverage, which is why this pass defense, which ranked 25th over the first half of the season, has improved all the way to 10th. It's definitely a factor in that defensive improvement. Why this is such an intriguing point as we talk about the Super Bowl is that, you know, as well as I do, as well as anybody listening does, playing with light box counts against a run defense and an offensive line like the Philadelphia Eagles is playing with fire. This is a very tough thing to do against a run offense that is so dynamic and so diverse and so efficient like the Philadelphia Eagles. So if the Kansas City Chiefs attempt to use lighter box counts, the Eagles might have some success gashing them on the ground. If the Kansas City Chiefs elect to go back to a more traditional way of playing the Philadelphia Eagles and put some more defenders in the box there to help slow that run game, well, keep this in mind, and we'll talk about this momentarily, I believe. The Philadelphia Eagles play with one of the highest rates of 11 personnel. So that means they're still got three wide receivers out there on the field. And if you're going to be putting a little bit more emphasis on slowing down the run game, they can easily throw the football and have success against you. And if one of the biggest factors in you improving from 25th to 10th against the pass was because you had more guys in coverage, now you don't have more guys in coverage. Now all of a sudden the Philadelphia Eagles could have an advantage throwing the football. So I think how often Steve Spagnuolo is putting more defenders in the box is going to be a really intriguing thing to watch when we watch the Super Bowl in 10 days from now.
We will talk about that Chiefs defense versus the 11 personnel when we come back, and some coaching carousel stuff as well. Pharrell Coast to Coast, Warren Sharp is with us. We are back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We are talking with Sports Grid's lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp, as we do every Thursday on C2C. All right, Warren, let's finish off the early Super Bowl talk with getting back to the Chief defense against that 11 personnel, which we know the Eagles like to use.
Do they ever like to use it? They are using it at the third highest rate of any team in the NFL this year. That's very different from the Eagles that you probably remember from a few years ago when Doug Peterson was coaching this team, where they would have Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert use ridiculously high rates of 12 personnel. I mean, we are talking about just in 2019, they only used 11 personnel on early downs in the first three quarters of games at a 37% clip. That was the fourth lowest rate of any team in the NFL. In 2020, it was still at 48%, which ranked 20th. Now they're up at 76% this year, which is, as I mentioned, the third highest rate of 11 personnel. Why this matters in the Super Bowl is because the Kansas City Chiefs defense has shown a massive vulnerability to passes out of 11 personnel, even down the stretch as this defense has improved in general. If you look at them over the course of the entire season, they rank 31st in the NFL versus 11 personnel passes, which is the grouping obviously the Eagles use the most of. But even from week 10 onward, versus 11 personnel passes, they still rank 30th, and they're allowing plus 0.17 EPA per attempt out of 11 personnel groupings. Now, the other more interesting element to this, to take it another step, is look at the teams that the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been playing. We are talking about teams, yes, the Cincinnati Bengals, who use 11 personnel at the highest rate of any team in the league. But aside from the Bengals, we're talking about the Jaguars, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Texans, and then another game against the Broncos if we want to go all the way back to week 14. These teams, the Broncos use 11 personnel at the 26th highest rate, the Texans at the 27th highest rate, the Seahawks at the 25th highest rate, the Raiders and the Jaguars are both outside of the top 10. So these aren't teams that like to spread the field frequently with three-plus wide receivers and like to throw the ball out of this three wide receiver set that the Eagles do so frequently. These are teams that don't really use 11 personnel at a high rate, but when they've used it, they've still had a ton of success against this Chiefs defense. So that's a big concern. Keep in mind, when the Cincinnati Bengals played the Chiefs earlier this year, back in week 13, their offensive line was healthier and they were able to move the ball against this defense a lot differently. If you look again at last week's game in the AFC Championship, the Cincinnati Bengals weren't able to have the same level of success in general offensively passing the football, but in part that was because Burrow was under so much pressure because those three offensive linemen were not playing. So again, take it with a grain of salt as it relates to breaking down the championship games or even the divisional round games for both of these teams. Don't take a whole lot from those performances on either side of the football, in my opinion, but absolutely this is going to be a key factor here. We know that the Chiefs have a lot of younger, less experienced defensive backs on their roster. They play a bunch of rookies back there. In a good way, this late half run has helped gain them more experience. They are better players now than they were at the beginning of the season. However, from a statistical perspective, they really haven't taken much of a leap, and they still rank as the 30th unit against 11 personnel passes, even down this last half of the season, where the overall defense against the pass has improved to 10th best. But when you pass out of 11 personnel, you're attacking them where they rank 30th. So that's going to be an edge for the Philadelphia Eagles offense here.
It certainly is. We can't wait. The longest part is, Warren, just waiting the 2 weeks to actually start this thing. That's the hardest thing about the Super Bowl. Let me ask you one more thing about props for this game, because it's different also in the aspect where every week in the NFL, we usually don't have the props for these games until Friday, Saturday morning. Like, you really only have 48 hours most times to chew on all the numbers for players. You got 2 whole weeks to try to go through these things. What do you kind of look at, maybe just a strategy wise? Is it, if you're an over player, get him early? If you're an under player, wait till everybody jacks him up next weekend before the game? How do you like to look at player props when they're on the board for so long?
There's some aspect of it, like you just said, about trying to figure out. That's one of the most important parts of betting games. The most important part is picking the bets that are going to win. It's tough to do that, but that obviously will give you the best ROI. The second most important element, though, is figuring out when to time the market to get in on these games. There's definitely going to be a lot of players out there, sharp players, who are going to get involved with some props early and then come and bet the exact opposite side late and just have a nice arbitrage and a middle opportunity there. So you're mostly going to be looking to do that on some of the over bets. But there are going to be certain instances where you might be betting an under and it could get steamed towards the under. And when you get down to it and then you're an hour before kickoff and there now suddenly has some value because you pegged a guy to have 16 yards and you bet him under at 22 and now it's all the way down to 13, you might actually come back and bet the over there. So it's not necessarily just a one-way street of betting overs early and unders late. The opposite could be true as well. But understanding the right time to time the market, studying the prop lines, as you could see, you could track some of these things online and see how they're moving, and then figure out how you need to get down on those games is going to be vitally important, because there are a ton of prop opportunities. The other thing that I will add that is not necessarily contradictory, but is an element you need to be aware of, is that in some cases, the juice just keeps getting bigger on like a yes, no type of a prop towards the yes. And you bet the yes earlier, but you might be a little bit late to a different bet that you want to bet the yes on, or you want to bet the no on, that has heavier juice. Don't necessarily get scared off at times by some of that juice. Some of these things that are like almost surefire bets to happen, they're going to scare you off with high juice. It does not mean that you shouldn't get involved. Always you should be looking at what you believe the probability of a bet to hit is, and is this line still offering a little bit of value, even if it's moved a little bit, or even if it is a high juice number. So I would take that into consideration as well. You want to time the market well, but there are certain bets that still might look intimidating because you're not going to win a lot by betting on them. But that's what the books don't want you to do. The books want you to come in and find all the bets that have plus 300, plus 400. And those are the ones you could triple or quadruple your money if the bet hits. And that's what a lot of bettors like to do. The sharper guys are going to be coming in and betting the opposite and laying the juice with some of those, which tend not to hit very frequently in a Super Bowl.
Can't wait. We're 10 days away from the Eagles and the Chiefs out in Arizona. All right, Warren, the coaching carousel has been spinning a little bit more here in the last week at the head coach and the offensive coordinator positions. Let's start in Denver. What do you think of Sean Payton going there to try to, let's just say it, fix Russell Wilson off of how this went this past season with Nathaniel Hackett? And I was actually very surprised that the Saints got so much return, a first and a second for Payton. That was a massive haul that they got for a coach that they wasn't going to be coaching for them.
It was, but there is a little bit of a sunk cost element to this, where they've already committed a lot to Russell Wilson, both from a financial perspective as well as a draft pick perspective. If you don't have somebody who's going to come in and do something positive with Russell Wilson, then that investment that you made looks even worse. So now the combination of Russ with Sean Payton, it should be viewed as like one lump sum investment that you made to the quarterback / coaching position, because without potentially Sean Payton, you're never going to see Russ do anything more than what he was giving you this past season, which is obviously not good enough to produce any type of return on what you gave up for him. So I think that Sean Payton does have the opportunity to get the most out of Russ as possible. And keep in mind, a lot of times it's not just, okay, the quarter, maybe Russ will never be a top 10 quarterback. Maybe he's not going to be ninth or eighth in the future. But if you can move him just from like beyond terrible to slightly above average, and you're also improving a lot of other elements with your offense, you're running the ball better, using better schemes, you're creating more opportunities, all of a sudden a quarterback who's not perfect is now being put into a much better offense for him. And you can get more out of that quarterback, as well as all the other types of plays that you would be designing and calling surrounding him. So I do think that that was a very smart, although expensive, investment in a coach. I think that that was very smart. And now we're going to see, like, did they end up doing something catastrophic to their franchise by signing Russell Wilson, or could we get something out of him? But the hard part is just the division that they're in, playing over there in the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes, as well as the overall conference, because a lot of these teams made some massive improvements on the coaching staff side of things.
They certainly have. Let's go to the Cowboys next. You knew somebody was going to have to be out for them not winning the Super Bowl, because that's obviously the expectation. Jerry thinks that McCarthy's going to be there as long as Tom Landry. I find that hard to believe, Warren, when you're basically putting him even more on the griddle by having him call plays as well with everything else that he's been doing the last couple years. We'll talk about where Kellen Moore is going after that, but first, how about McCarthy now getting the play calling as well in Dallas?
Don't love it at all. I think it was a terrible decision. I don't think that he is going to be a better play caller than Moore was. Now, obviously, Moore might have wanted to leave, But McCarthy struggled at calling plays in Green Bay for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. This was before Aaron Rodgers had some fall off. Aaron Rodgers had the fall off with his production in Green Bay while Mike McCarthy was there because of some of the plays that Mike McCarthy was calling. So early on in that relationship, Aaron Rodgers was looking great. As McCarthy was calling other plays and couldn't fix some of the offense, Aaron Rodgers started to look worse. And we saw that Aaron Rodgers has produced a couple of really strong seasons. This one obviously pushed that aside for a second since Mike McCarthy left. So I think it has to be that Mike McCarthy's play calling there wasn't a fit. You would think that Dak Prescott would have looked great if Mike McCarthy had the right offense and the right strategy and the philosophical approach to call the best style of offense here. I just worry. You know, some coaches are much better suited to be leaders. They earn their stripes as play callers, but they're better suited just to be leaders and have somebody else call the plays because there is a ton of pressure. And you can only imagine how much pressure now is going to be on Mike McCarthy, given the fact that he now has these play calling duties. In addition to, he's got to make sure that the Cowboys get back to the playoffs and actually win some playoff games this year, or he could be on the outs because Jerry Jones obviously has very high standards. So I don't like giving Mike McCarthy any more responsibility than you need to. And now you're giving him more than he had last year calling this offense. I think it's a mistake.
I'm with you. I think it's a major mistake as well. We will come back, Warren, and wrap it up with Kellen Moore getting hired less than 24 hours later out to the Chargers. You have been wanting Justin Herbert to get unleashed in that Charger offense. When we come back, you will tell us if you think that Kellen Moore is the guy that is going to be able to do that. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. Our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp, is with us. We will wrap things up talking about the coaching carousel and Kellen Moore heading to the Chargers next. Sports Grid Radio. We keep rolling right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Thursday. Carver High in for Scotty. Of course, we always have our lead NFL analyst, Warren Sharp, with us on a Thursday to wrap things up. All right, Warren, you've wanted it. We need Justin Herbert to be unleashed in that Charger offense. Is Kellen Moore the guy that is finally going to do that?
Well, the good news is he's not going to be any worse than Joe Lombardi, who averaged the 32nd air yards per pass attempt for Justin Herbert. This offense was just dink and dunk that any quarterback out there could have tried to execute because they weren't pushing the ball down the field with enough frequency, let alone a quarterback like Justin Herbert, who has ridiculous arm talent and the ability to actually push the ball down the field and create far more problems for a defense than what they were doing previously. So I absolutely think that Kellen Moore is going to get more, no pun intended, out of Justin Herbert. I don't know if Kellen Moore is the most ideal offensive coordinator. There was a lot of creativity that we saw at times in Dallas. There are some things that I like about him, but he's not like my on a top 10 list of offensive coordinators in the NFL for me personally. But there's just night and day difference. When we talk about coaching upgrades, we really, it's just like at the quarterback position, if you lose a starter, it's not just this guy is gone, but who is the next guy up? And that's the case here. When you're replacing a guy like Joe Lombardi, almost anybody is going to be better. Moore is going to be potentially substantially better. So I hope that we see it because they've basically wasted the entire, you know, rookie deal window that teams get when they have a young quarterback who's on this cheap cost control deal his first 4 years in the NFL by pairing him up with the offensive coordinators that they've done. So it could be a case of too little, too late, but I'm still really excited to see it, and it absolutely will be an upgrade.
Warren, tremendous stuff as always. Safe travels out to Arizona. You're back with Scotty next week out there. You will be at the MGM Casino out in Zona. Have a great week, my man. Talk to you next week. There he is.
Thank you.
Warren Sharp, our lead NFL, lead NFL analyst. We're back after this on The Grid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.